The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "If the world hates you, realize that it hated me first. If you belong to the world would love its own. But because you do not belong to the world, and I have chosen you out of the world hates you. Remember the word that I spoke to you. No slave is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. And they will do all these things to you on account of my name, because they do not know the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. You know, there's some heartwarming passages in the Scriptures. There's some beloved passages in the Scriptures. There's some oft-quoted and memorized passages in the Scriptures, and this is not one of them. If the world hates you, Jesus says to his apostles at the Last Supper, if the world hates you, realize that it hated me first. It's not something that you're going to find written on a holy card or etched in gold, right? Not one of the most beloved passages in the Scriptures. However, it's most certainly one of the most helpful passages in the Scriptures. Let's take a closer look. First thing we want to understand is what Jesus means when he says the world. When Jesus or the Scriptures refers to the world, as this gospel does, understand, it doesn't refer to any individual or any person in the world, but rather to the worldly spirit of opposition to God, the driving force of secularism. It's the spirit that you find in music, it's the spirit that you find in media, it's the spirit that you find in movies or big business or the halls of government or leading universities. Generally speaking, wherever power is loved, wherever prestige is loved, wherever money is loved, Jesus Christ is hated. It also helps not to try to deny the premise. Right? You gotta admit the premise. There is a unique and special disdain for Jesus Christ that you don't find for anybody else. They don't single out Buddha for this kind of attention. Nobody gets upset at Confucius. Tell people you worship trees. People will say, cool. You can tell people that you draw your inspiration from Aristotle, or that you meditate on the writings of Plato, or that you find light in the passages of Shakespeare, and they'll think of you to be scholarly and astute. But try mentioning the name of Jesus Christ outside the walls of the church and feel the resistance. Never tell you the one time in which somebody asked me to offer the opening prayer in the State House of Maryland. Long story as to how, but they asked me to open the, and I said, sure, I'll open the legislative session of the Maryland State House with a prayer. And they said, great, just some ground rules first. First of all, you can't make the prayer too long. I said, no problem. Secondly, you can't speak in any language other than English. I said, no trouble. And thirdly, you can't mention the name of Jesus Christ. I said, what? You can't mention the name of Jesus Christ. I said, no can do, amigo. No can do. I think back, you know what I should have done? I should have done the St. Michael prayer. That's what I should have done. But this unique, it's interesting. It's interesting. It's mysterious. They'll say Jesus Christ is irrelevant. Well, if he's so irrelevant, then why the fierce opposition? They say, well, it's because your church, you're trying to impose your views on us. Church doesn't have the power or the authority. We can't impose anything on anybody. I think what people really realize is a genuine spirit, that there's power and authority in this name to which you cannot be neutral. You can be sad, mad, or glad, but you cannot be neutral. And they perceive the power and authority of Jesus Christ as a genuine threat. And it is. And it is. Sometimes the secularist powers, I think they take Jesus Christ more seriously than we do. They recognize that he's a genuine threat that must be opposed because he's very, very strong. Very interesting how everyone, in one form or another, recognizes authority and bends the knee at the name of Jesus Christ. We have to recognize also something very helpful in this passage, and that is that we cannot and must not try to remain neutral. You can't please God and also please the world. You must choose. There's no straddling the fence. Many Christians try to straddle the fence, right, to fit in with the spirit of the world by minimizing their faith or hiding their faith or denying their faith. But Jesus says, don't try. Don't waste your time. I told you. If you're going to be my follower, you're going to carry a cross. Did you really think that you'd be exempt? Did you really think that? Let's not fool ourselves. Why does our Lord tell us these words? Why does he tell us these words? Because we need them to persevere. I think if we were not told that we would have trouble with the spirit of the age and the powers of the world, I think that we would fold. We would give up. It's helpful for someone to tell you that you're going to face a struggle. Kind of like your captain saying, fasten your safety belts, turbulence up ahead. Our Lord says, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. No slave is greater than his master. And you want to know what? We wouldn't want it to be any other way. Let's press on as best we're able, take heart, and strive to please God, even if we please nobody else in this world. Amen.